I remember the day so well. I was at home, the phone rang. It was my coach. My heart dropped to the pit of my stomach. She said, "You need to come in." I wasn't surprised that she was calling me. One of my teammates had already been cut from the varsity women's team and put onto the novice women's team for underperformance, and I was pretty sure that I had the same fate. So going into that meeting, I had decided that I wasn't going to give her the satisfaction of cutting me from her team, and I was going to beat her to the punch. So I go into her office the day that we're supposed to meet, and I said, "Hey, look, coach, I don't know why you brought me in here, but I just want to tell you, I'm not really into rowing. I don't really like it as much as I thought that I did, and it's not right for me, so I'm just going to go ahead and leave your team." And she kind of sat back and she said, "You know, I think that that's probably the best idea." And so I said, "Okay, all right." So I was reaching for the doorknob and she said, "Hey, Nadia." And I turned around and I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Hey, you're really good at running. You should keep running. Yeah, you're a good runner." And I couldn't believe that she had the audacity to tell me that I should keep running, when the whole reason I was in her room was because I was a rower. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of the Strong Athletic Podcast. I'm your host, Nadia Kane. I'm so stoked that you have chosen to join me today. I really wish that you were not just joining me virtually. I wish that you're actually in this room with me, but sadly, it's just myself, a computer, a microphone, and a singing bird outside my window, which I'm hoping the mic isn't picking up. In a tiny little nutshell, the reason I decided to start this podcast is because I actually looked for something like this. I was looking for a podcast about the methodology of coaching, and all I could really find were other things that had to do with coaching, but it wasn't specifically about how to coach athletes. So for instance, you know, I found like a podcast about, you know, the technique and strategy of rowing, and that's fantastic, but I didn't find a podcast about how to coach that strategy and technique. I looked for podcasts such as this one, and I found, you know, sports psychology podcasts. I look for literature and I found things on kinesiology, how the human body works, how athletes think going into game day. But again, I didn't find something about the methodology of coaching. And so the type of person I am is that if I can't find something, I'm going to do it myself. And so voila, everybody, the Strong Athletic Podcast. Originally, I was just going to do this podcast for coaches. But then the more that I thought about it, I realized that there's not actually podcasts or books or resources for athletes to learn how to get better at being coached. And this is a massive void in the field of athletics. And so I decided that it's already really hard to have the conversation about coaching without bringing the athletes into it. And also there's a lack of resources for athletes. So how about we just make this podcast for both coaches and athletes so that both people who play equally important parts on the team can have a resource. The first few episodes of this podcast are specifically going to focus on resources for coaches and athletes on how to up their coaching game or their athletic game. You're not going to find resources such as which, you know, diets you should follow or what lifting regime you should do, but you are going to find resources such as these are tips for how to coach better, or these are tips for how to communicate with your coach better so that you can get more out of the practice time. In months to come, we're going to be telling stories about people who have been in athletics all their life. We're going to tell stories about people who have stayed in athletics and people who have left athletics. And we're going to talk about why that's important and factors that determine if people choose to stay or if they choose to leave. We're also going to be talking about studies and research that has been done specifically on people who are in sports and how sports has positively or negatively impacted their life. But that's a little bit down the road. If you have heard of studies that were particularly fascinating, we'd love for you to send those to us. So please look for our email in the podcast show notes. So I chose to start today's episode with a pretty personal story, and that was about myself. And I want to tell it to you because it ties into what we're focusing on today. So I got recruited to row in college, and that was pretty lucky because my grades sure as hell did not get me into college. So I did get into college specifically because I had an athletic scholarship. And I started my year with an amazing athlete for my coach, Just the only problem was that her style of coaching didn't resonate with me. And so while she had a ton to offer to the community that she was in, the coaching world, I didn't gain from it specifically. And so I sort of treaded water in her program as long as I could until finally I basically got out of the pool, because if I didn't, I was going to sink. And the thing is that I was a very immature 18-year-old that didn't really know how to dedicate myself correctly, and I just wasn't quite up for it. I wasn't ready to do everything that I needed to do to perform to the expectations that she wanted me to. She didn't know how to communicate with me. She certainly didn't know what type of motivator I was, like what type of motivation I needed. And so the result was that she couldn't utilize me as an athlete on her team and basically wanted me to get better at what I was doing, which is totally understandable, or quit. And when I decided to quit, it was going to be way easier for her in the long run. So she was pretty stoked about that. Now, I used to blame her for this, and I put some of the burden on her to this day, but I do put some of it on myself as the athlete, because in my opinion, athletes are just as responsible for their spot on the team and how they're performing on a team and what they get out of their experience in a sport and on the team as the coach is. And so we're going to talk about that in episodes to come. But the reason I wanted to start this episode with a highly personal story is because I bet at some point in your career in sports, you've wanted to do exactly what I did, which was quit. Now, if that has never happened to you yet, I am stoked for you. But it might happen to you in the future. And if so, I want this podcast to be a resource for you, because I don't want you to quit sports. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about things such as why you are in sports, why you decided to stay, why you might leave. And we're going to be talking about this from the perspective of both the coach and the athlete. But before we go into this list of questions I have for you all today, I want you to think about this. A lot of people are going to encourage you to focus on your strengths. And I've always found this absolutely ridiculous, because the thing is that sometimes what you're good at is not what you should be doing. So in sports, sometimes you're going to be great at one thing and awful at the other, but that doesn't necessarily mean you should stop doing the very thing that you're awful at just because you're already good at something else. So for instance, in that story I told, my coach said, you know, you're a good runner, you should keep on running. And the thing is, I hated running. I really hated running. I hated running. And also, I wasn't good at running. I just sucked so bad at rowing that I looked like I was fantastic at running. And to this day, like, I do have a love-hate relationship with running, and I will do it, but I love rowing. I love rowing, and I'm actually really, really good at it. It's just that at that point, I was not yet good at it. But the great news is that I eventually went back to rowing, and I'll tell you more about this in the future. However, if I had listened to my coach and I had shaken my head yes, and I had said, yep, she is right, I'm a bad rower, I'm a great runner, I'm going to run from now on, well, my whole life would be different, and I also would have a different career, because to this day, I actually coach the sport of rowing. Okay, so at this point, our podcast is about to become interactive, and the way that it's going to be interactive is that I'm going to highly recommend that you do the rest of this podcast with a pen and paper, and also many of our podcasts will be with pen and paper, so if you have a special place where you want to keep all of this, maybe it's your favorite journal with the unicorns on it, I'm not judging. Then go ahead and grab that now, and then I'm going to tell you what I want you to write about. Now, if you're driving or you're on a run or you're doing housework, obviously don't stop to write, especially if you're driving. or if you're a pilot, if you're flying and listening to this. No, that's a joke. Anyway, but yeah, don't stop what you're doing, but do consider hitting pause and just thinking about what I'm asking you to write about, and then hitting play again. And if you're writing, you'll be doing that too, so that you can take a moment to write. So what I want you to write about first is that pivotal moment that you had at some point where basically somebody wanted you to know that you weren't that great at something and they were recommending that you stop doing it. And you either took their advice and went on to do something else, or you were defiant and you decided to stay and continue to do what it was that you were doing, even though they didn't really consider you to be that good at what it was. Now, if you wrote all of that down, I want you to date it, and you are going to make sure it's in a place where you can find it again later. But also, you're going to set it to the side because we are going to make a full circle at the end of the show and go back to that story, that personal story of yours, and why it's important. But for now, keep your pen and paper out or continue to hit pause because we're about to go into a series of questions that I developed for myself to hold myself accountable while I did sports. Now, if I seem super serious, it's because I do take this stuff seriously, but I thought that this might be a good time to tell you a funny story about my first existential crisis. And I was I was nine, and I used to lay awake at night and think about what the whole purpose of life was. And I would get a stomach ache because I needed to know what the whole purpose was in me being around and what I was doing every single day. And about 30 years later, nothing has changed about that. And I still want to always know the why, the purpose behind everything that we're doing. And if I've coached you before, then you have experienced this because I always want to tell you why you're doing something. And it's highly unusual that I'm going to recommend that you try something in your sport, so whether on skates or in a rowing boat, without giving you the why behind it. So no need for you to have an existential crisis, but I do think that knowing your intent will help you be a better coach and also a better athlete on your team. So regardless of if you're going to write these questions down and write about them, or if you're going to simply hit pause and have a quiet think about them, I am now going to read you my list of questions. The way that I'm going to read these is basically like I'm reading a list, because I am, and I'm going to pause a little bit after I read the question, and that is an indicator for you to hit pause if you are going to be doing this in real time. And basically, I'm not going to give a lot of examples of what I'm talking about because I don't want to lead you to write about something I'm suggesting you write about. Rather, I want you to just write about things that you're thinking about, and I want your brain to be a clean slate. So without further delay, here we go. Question number one. Why I started coaching or playing my sport. Question number two. Why I keep coaching or playing my sport. Question three. Why I'd leave coaching or playing my sport. Question four, what I gain from coaching or playing my sport. Question five, what I sacrifice in order to coach or play my sport. Question six, what is my proudest moment as a coach or as an athlete in my sport? Question seven, my worst moment as a coach or athlete in my sport. Question eight, what are indicators that I should keep coaching or playing my sport? Question nine, what are indicators that I should stop coaching or playing my sport? Question 10, does my motivation as a coach or an athlete come from focusing on myself, or does it come from focusing on my team? Question 11. Write about the athlete that you have the best relationship with. Excuse me, this is from a coach's perspective. So coaches, write about the athlete that you have the best relationship with, and then write about why you like working with that athlete. Question 12, coaches, write about the athlete that you have the worst relationship with and write about why it's so hard for you to work with that athlete. Question 13, this one's for the athletes. Write about the coach who you benefited from the most and why you enjoyed their coaching. Question 14, write about the coach that you don't learn from, so who was least beneficial to you and why you didn't gain from their coaching. Question 15, brag about yourself. What are your strongest assets as a coach or an athlete? Question 16, be honest, but stay out of the gutter, everybody. Don't get too honest or too toxically honest. What is your weakest asset as a coach or as an athlete? Question 17, what do you love about your sport? Question 18, what do you hate about your sport? And now question 19, how does time impact all of this? And question 20, how does obligation impact all of this? All right, so those are the questions, and possibly you've thought about those on your own. I'm sure that you have at some point, but maybe you didn't think of them in that series. If you did, that's quite a coincidence, and you should definitely go and play the lottery like right now. But those questions are what I go back to sometimes when I'm thinking about if I should play a sport or if I should not play the sport, or for coaching, if I'm just making sure that coaching is a good fit for me. So now we're going to backtrack a little bit as promised, and we're going to talk about that pivotal moment for you where maybe you were not the best at something in your sport, whichever sport it was, and somebody either encouraged you to go try something else, or they encouraged you to stay, or maybe there was actually no outside person. It was just what you were thinking about in your head. And we're going to go and look at question 19. And number 19 from the list that I just read to you, just so you don't have to look back yourself, is how does time impact any of this? So basically, how does time impact your response to all of the questions that I just asked? And so this is where it's good for us to speak about what is obvious, but sometimes you need an outside person to remind you of things that you just can't see for one reason or another, but to the person on the outside, it's totally apparent to them. So time is going to be a great determining factor of how good you are in your sport. So for instance, I coach a lot of high achievers, and high achievers like to achieve many things, and they like to achieve those many things quickly. And I happen to coach two sports that simply take understanding and they take time. So roller derby and rowing are two sports where you're not necessarily going to be great at them the second you try them. And actually, I think that that is actually true about most sports, except that those are the two sports that I'm an expert on, so I'm only going to speak to those. And so if you're brand new at something, you haven't been doing it very long, I consider you to be brand new at a sport if you're in the first 2 years of it, then there's no reason that that sport should come easy to you, and it should be easy. And so when you're thinking about all of this, you know, somebody maybe encouraged you to leave the sport. They said you weren't great at it. Go do that other thing you're good at. Well, if you haven't been doing the sport that long, there's not a reason for you to be great at it, right? On the other hand, even if you've been doing that sport for 10 years and you're still not that fantastic at it, if it doesn't impact your life negatively and you love that sport, you really shouldn't take that as an indicator that you should leave. And that is something that is important to me, and I don't think it's stressed enough, that playing a sport doesn't necessarily equate being fantastic at it. And as a rowing coach, I've watched people row past me for years, the same person rowing past me, and their rowing stroke is actually horrendous. Like, it's positively not the correct way to row, but they're enjoying themselves. And some of these people, they have actually rode past me for like 15, 20 years. And so I think it's wonderful that they never listened to the advice of others, because if they did, they might have, you know, called it a day and stopped doing the sport that they love. So if you hadn't taken that into consideration, I'm glad that you have, and maybe you're looking at it from the vantage point of a coach. So a lot of coaches, when we don't see the performance that we're looking for from an athlete, sometimes we sort of brush them to the side, and a lot of coaches actually hope that the athlete will step away from the team. I was speaking to a coach recently that said, this handful of people, they, you know, it just turned out they didn't want to compete, and so, you know, they stopped being on my team. And funny enough, I had actually heard from that same handful of people, and those same people actually really loved competing, but they didn't like his program, and they didn't think that he treated them serious enough, so they left his team. So he was really, really, he was really misinformed in what he thought was going on there, and because he wasn't seeing the performance from them that he wanted, he just assumed that they weren't even good enough to compete. And the thing is that you might not compete at the level you want to, but you're good enough to compete the second that you have comprehension in your sport and there's something for you to compete at. In our next episode, we're going to compare lists. So in that episode, I'm going to share with you my responses to the 20 questions. And in doing so, I'm going to give you reason behind them. And probably what's going to happen is that you're going to take a look at your list and look at it a little bit differently than you did today or whenever it is that you're going to respond to these questions. So that's it for today for those questions. And again, if you've never thought about them, then I'm happy that you are now. And also, if you're a coach, you might consider bringing these questions to your team. This might really help you better understand the athletes that you coach. If you're an athlete, you might consider bringing these questions to your team as well, or also asking your coach to do them. Better understanding never hurts. For now, let's move on. So every episode of the Strong Athletic Podcast is going to have a tip of the day, one that I think will be useful to you as a coach or as an athlete. Now, sometimes these tips are going to be for both of you, but sometimes it's going to be for one or the other. So today's tip of the day is going to be focused on the coach, so I'll be speaking to the coach, but it doesn't necessarily mean athletes can't gain from it. So my tip of the day is I want you to start asking yourself a simple question of, do I talk too much or do I talk too little while at practice? So talking would essentially be coaching. So coaches, some of you are watchers, so you watch the athletes, you take in a lot of information, and you're thinking about what they're doing the whole entire time, but you're not necessarily sharing that information with them. And this might be because you don't think it's adequate enough, maybe it's just tiny tidbits of info, or sometimes you don't really know how to compile that information, so you don't know what the bottom line might be. On the other hand, the coaches that are going to be the polar opposite of you are the coaches who talk a lot, and they give so much information, it almost becomes a burden to the learner, and also it can hijack practice time and just stop things in its tracks. So because these are two different approaches to coaching, we're going to talk about them separately. So we're going to start with the coach who does not coach often. So as a coach, I totally understand that you need to observe and watch before you give direction. And a lot of the reason for this is you need a full picture of what's actually happening. But to the athlete, sometimes they feel like they're going around in circles or they're practicing without direction, and so it can actually become quite frustrating for them. So what I want you to start to notice is how much practice time is going by with or without instruction. Now, if you're having a hard time understanding how you can trigger a conversation and just bring up what the athlete needs to modify, I have some tips for you on how to do that, and we're going to be talking about those in later episodes. The episode that you'll be looking for is how to create content when you have nothing to say. Now, let's go to the people that have the opposite problem from you. And it is they speak a lot and they don't even realize it. And for some sports, the athletes can continue to practice while the coach is talking to them. Rowing is one of these sports. You can be right next to the athletes, a lot of times in a motorboat, and you can be speaking to them through a megaphone, and they can never stop practicing, and you're always talking to them. And there's some moments when this is actually appropriate, and I call it a stream of consciousness, and I tell athletes ahead of time when I'm going to be coaching them this way. But then there's coaches who will stop practice. The athletes are no longer practicing, and they're simply listening. Now, this is problematic for a couple of reasons, and before I tell you, I want you to hit pause and think about why it might be problematic, and then we'll come back to it. So reasons that stopping practice and coaching for long periods of time is problematic is for basic reasons such as the body temperature of the athlete drops or the heart rate that they had been at drops. Another reason could be their intensity level drops. So if you had been doing something particularly arduous or very, very aggressive, then the level of intensity drops and it's going to take a moment to get it back where it had been before. Now, one of the prime reasons why stopping practice and simply talking to the athlete is not ideal sometimes is actually for this reason. I'm going to say it this way, talking at. Many times you're not talking with, you're talking at. And many learners, particularly myself, we don't learn very well when people are talking at us. We need to be part of a discussion if we're going to stay engaged. And so many times I like to call that period where the coach is talking free meditation. And that is basically what I'm doing. So I mean, no disrespect to coaches, but generally when a coach is talking at us for longer than 30 seconds, if they're not engaging me in some way, if the information they're not teaching me isn't incredibly enticing, then I'm going to go off to a special place I like to call La La Land, and I will probably not listen to them. And then when it's time to do the drill again or work on whatever it was that we were doing, I have to ask somebody else around me if they can please tell me what the coach just said, because I pulled a Nadia and I stopped listening. Now, many of you can empathize with this, and coaches, I don't think we realize it when people are not listening to us or when they don't understand what we're telling them. And so we have an episode for that, and it's about indicators. And indicators are basically when an athlete gives us information about their performance. We're going to talk about that a lot in detail later on in the show, so not right now. But basically, coaches, watch that body language of the athletes. If the athlete seems overly frustrated, it might be that you're not giving them enough information. However, if you're talking to the athletes and they look bored or disinterested, or it looks like you've lost them, then maybe you've been speaking for too long. Now, a quick solution to this is that you can carry a stopwatch with you, and you can time how long you're talking to how long they're practicing. So for instance, if you're talking for about 1 minute and they're practicing for about 20 minutes at a time comparatively, then you might not be coaching them enough, and probably not. However, if you are talking for about 6 minutes and they're only practicing for about 3 minutes, then you're probably definitely overcoaching them. And so we're going to talk about this in other episodes. This is something that I like to focus on as a coach when I coach other coaches. But for now, I want that to be tip number one for episode number one. And if you hadn't thought about that, lovely. I don't want you to overthink it, so don't be ashamed or embarrassed, but do definitely have that on your radar and start to make modifications, because it could do really, really great things for the athletes at your practice. So in every single Strong Athletic podcast, we're going to have a question from a listener. And if you are wondering how we already have listeners because this is the first podcast, that is a great question. And I'm stoked that you are so observant. So actually what it is that I put a post out announcing this podcast and I asked people to start sending in questions. So I got a really good one from Tara in New Jersey, and Tara plays rugby. And she told me about something that's going on with her team, and it might be going on with your team. So listen up. So Tara says that her team doesn't have a lot of access to practice space, so I guess not a lot of field time, and that they don't have a lot of times that the team could come together and practice. And so what this means, what ends up happening for her, is that the most advanced athletes on a rugby team end up practicing with the least advanced athletes at her team. And she doesn't have a lot of coaches on her team, so that means that her coach also has to divide their time between the most advanced players and the least advanced players. So Tara says that although they have all of these advanced players that are really, really skilled that they love to watch and learn from, unfortunately, what ended up happening with her team is that the advanced players would just tell the least advanced players that there's a certain time of practice where they had to go home and they couldn't stay, even if they wanted to just do drills on the sidelines. And so Tara was asking me, like, do I think that there's a benefit for people who are newer at a sport? A lot of times we call these people novices. If there's a benefit for novices to practice with the most elite or advanced athletes on the team. Now, unfortunately, Tara ended up leaving her team. She didn't want to stay with them. But there's great news. There's a team close by. And so Tara essentially knew that the culture wasn't going to change on that team. So she went and found another team to be on. But let's say that you live someplace where there's not another team for hours. What are you going to do about it? So here's my recommendation. Tara, yeah, this can be hard. And I'm looking at it from the perspective of a coach and also from a player who's played at that elite level and also somebody who's brand new at the sport that she does. So from a coach's perspective, it can be really hard to divide your time, but it is possible. A lot of times when I'm coaching roller derby leagues that have the same thing, like a variety of different levels of athletes, what I tend to do is make sure that every single drill or skill that I do has a layered system to it so that there's the beginner level and then there's the middle ground level and then there's the most advanced level. And sometimes I'll even tell people, don't move on to step two if you couldn't do step one. And that's actually for safety reasons. Now, when I'm at sessions and I'm finally coaching something that's so strategically hard or advanced that the newer skaters can't do it, for either safety reasons or because it's going to slow things down too much. Maybe it's a really high level strategy that's actually meant for advanced people. What I have them do is just stop and listen. And what I find, like, you know, rugby can be very strategic, so can roller derby. And what I find is even if people can't do it yet, they can still comprehend it. And so I don't find it to be harmful to keep the less advanced players around because if anything, they're going to be motivated by those more advanced athletes. They're going to be encouraged by them. They're going to see how hard they work, how good they are at their sport, and they're going to want to stick around. But at some point, you know, I don't want to slow down those most advanced skaters and I want them to get their really hardcore practice in. So I'm not necessarily going to put in an athlete who shouldn't be out there just so that she can learn. And I'm not going to do that because it would be inappropriate strategy-wise. She's not there yet. And also it could potentially be unsafe. So what I'm going to say is if I could talk to those coaches from your own team, I'd encourage them to keep everybody together, but find a system where every single drill has a level for a different skilled person, or every single strategy has a layer to it, and then find appropriate times to take people out of the drill if their experience level isn't there, and possibly have them working on something on their own on the sideline or watching and learning and asking questions. So Tara, thank you so much for sending in that question. I find it valuable. I bet other people did too, and I bet that they probably have similar experiences. Moving forward, I need your help. I'm looking for stats about people who are in sports and how being in a sport has impacted their life, either positively or negatively. So if you know of any studies for that, please send an email to hello@strongathleticpodcast.com and thank you in advance. This podcast is totally free for you, and it is because we want you to have this resource. We want you to take these ideas and bring them to the people who you play sports with, and we hope that this is going to add value to your team. The reason we're able to do this for free is because we have badass sponsors, and today's awesome sponsor is Strong Athletic. And basically, Strong Athletic wants you to know that nobody gets to decide or determine would you use the words strong or athletic. The only person that gets to decide when you qualify as those words is yourself. So make sure to be good to yourself, be kind to yourself, and remember, if you're playing a sport, you probably are an athlete. You can find us, Strong Athletic Podcast, that is, at Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, and also on Podomatic. If there's a platform that we are not yet on, but you use to listen to podcasts, please tell us about it. If you'd like today's show and you think it's something that's going to benefit you in the future, first, I'd like to say I'm really happy about that. We've put a lot of effort into making this show and we're only bringing you the ideas and information that we think is going to impact you positively the most. But also, eventually, I want you to consider rating us. That's going to help other coaches and athletes such as yourself find this podcast. To promote today's podcast, we did a giveaway, and the winner of the giveaway is Moose Def from Minnesota Roller Girls. So thanks everybody who participated, and Moose, get in touch. We'll get you that shirt. The music from our show is by The Little Bicycles, so thank you, Little Bicycles, for making some badass music. And in conclusion, I just want to thank you again so much for joining me for today's podcast. And I told you at the beginning of the show that I tell you why we're releasing it on February 4, 2019. And that is because this is my 1 year anniversary for retiring from the sport of roller derby. So I played roller derby for a very, very happy 15 years. And to this day, that's still even a long time to play the sport. And I had a fantastic time. I started with TXRD Lone Star Roller Girls in Austin, Texas. What's up, TXRD? And I finished, I retired with Texas Roller Girls, also in Austin, Texas. What's up, TXRG? I was lucky enough to play with the U.S. team for 6 years, and I was extremely lucky to play the sport. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. It's how I met many, many of my best friends. It's how I met my wife, and to this day, it's still what I do for work. I can honestly say that I'm the happiest I've been in years. However, it is not because I'm no longer doing roller derby, but it's because of what roller derby has led me to do next, and also what I'm currently doing for you, which is the Strong Athletic Podcast. So for anybody who I've been with for those last 15 years, anyone who was on that ride with me of playing roller derby, or who is on that ride still or on that ride now, I want to thank you for being there for me, and I'm super stoked about what's to come. So I'm going to sign off. Again, my name is Nadia Kane. Many of you know me as Smarty Pants, but I'm going by my human name now, which is Nadia. I don't take your time for granted. Let's all work together to keep humans in sports. And in closing, I just want to remind you that you don't need anybody's permission to demonstrate your strength. You, my friends, are strong, athletic.